Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today she's Australia's spy granny, and we've got an exclusive interview with her. Has she been passing knitting patterns onto the Russians? We'll find out. Also, Mick salutes Australia's latest Nobel Prize winner. We'll reenact that 60 Minutes euthanasia debate. And we've got the latest Dax Down work from those raunchy royals. On Radio Gladiators, we're looking for fun, fun and more fun. We'll once again stir that big pot of shite. And on board for some loose talk today, it's comedian Matt Parkinson. Yes, it's all coming up on the program, which has been utterly rejected by the Prime Minister, Martin Malloy. On the cream here at Martin Malloy. Good afternoon, Australia. Guess who's here today? It's me, Tony Martin, and this bloke here. Yes, he's back. A man who, it was revealed today, has been selling jokes to the Russians, Mick Malloy.
And there's plenty more where those others came from, T. Martin.
Passing on sensitive comedy material. Now, how are you, Mickey? Are you back to strength?
I'm feeling better, and I must thank Paul Hester for sitting in for me yesterday. Did a champion job, and yeah. I've struck a deal with him. Next time he's sick, I'm going to fill in as stick man for the crowd. He's...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, it's the least I could do.
For that one-off rumoured farewell gig. It could be you. Okay, well, Mickey, I think we'll start you off with something not too taxing.
Okay.
Let's have a bit of a visit to your celebrity corner.
Thank you, one and all, and welcome once again to Mick's Celebrity Corner. Big hand for Peter Gracie Jr. on the piano. Very nice work. All right, let's get down to business. Well, all the talk today is of the Sydney spy granny, the 72-year-old grandmother accused of passing Australian government secrets onto the Soviets. The spy granny now lives the quiet life in an outer Sydney suburb. We've got her on the line now. Mrs. X, can you hear me?
Yes, this is Mrs. X speaking. Can you hurry it up? I'm running late for bowls.
Bowls? Is that a code name for some kind of undercover activity?
No, no, it's completely innocent. Every Tuesday afternoon, myself and a nest of former Soviet moles get together down at the local club and over a few cups of tea and iced vovos, secretly plot the downfall of Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, unless it's a bit blowy out. Then we just sit round waiting for blue heelers.
Right, okay.
Oh, hang on two shakes, will you? Somebody on the other line. Mm. Hello? Yes, speaking. I'll just have a look-see. Sorry about this. It's Alexander Liebed calling from the Kremlin.
Right.
Yes. Yes, it looks to me like they've taken those bins in. Okay, hooroo, sorry about that.
So you're still active then?
Oh, yes, I still find time to pop down to the Department of Defence every Thursday for espionage and scones.
But what about...
Hold your horses for a second, will you? Elsie, could you check the false bottom in my shopping jeep? Yes, I think I left that newspaper clipping about baby John Burgess's secret pilots at Channel 9. Someone from the Russian consulate's coming round to collect at the Savo.
Sorry? The Russians are interested in what baby John's up to?
Yes. Oh, he's been working for them for years. Haven't you heard of Burgess and McLean?
Right. Now, what about this allegation in today's paper that you were recently seen by ASIO having lunch with a mysterious man in a green hat?
Yes, that was Sterlo from the footy show, dressed as Robin of Locksley.
Hang on, most of your work seems to centre around Channel 9.
Well, that's the only safe place for most of us operatives to congregate these days.
Where?
The studio audience of the midday show. It's a hotbed of infiltrators exchanging sensitive information during the ad breaks on the back of old Women's Weekly recipe cards.
I see. Well, we've run out of time, Mrs. X, so thanks for...
Hold on a second, will you? Somebody else on the blower. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Zhirinovsky. How are you? Did you get that cardy? Yeah, beaut. Yes, listen, I'll have those secret photographs of the new patio extension at number 26 in the first post tomorrow. Yes, they're still down at the chemist's. I'll get them when I collect my replacement microfilm.
new from Phil Collins, Dancing to the Light. There's new Phil Collins music on the way, isn't there, Gracie? Oh, they'll be cracking the champagne corks in radio stations around the world.
These next few months are just going to rock themselves if you're a music programmer, aren't they?
I'm not coming in today. Just, is the new Phil Collins? Yeah, fine. Okay, I'll be at home. All right.
Okay, this is Martin Malloy. How was that spy granny?
She was a card.
Yeah, she went a long way round for that Burgess and McLean joke, didn't she?
Yep, but she got there.
She's getting on, so, you know, you got to expect
she's
that.
All right.
The papers, the Murdoch papers, don't know what to do with this spy granny story, because they've got a story where, theoretically, the granny is the bad guy. They're not used to that.
Right.
Usually it's the granny who's in the little oval-shaped photograph.
Yeah.
And Stuart Littlemore pointed out to us, whenever the Murdoch papers want to have someone as a bad guy, they just make sure the victim is in an oval-shaped photo.
Correct.
That's right, but here the oval...
Hate the other.
Exactly, but of course it's the granny, so they're totally confused. Is the granny the bad guy? Well, who's in the oval? And they've got Dr. Evans, the bloke she used to work for. She didn't even kill him.
He's the innocent victim in all this.
he's in the oval-shaped photo today. All right, well, enough spy granny talk, because, if we're going after spy grannies, they're going to have to arrest half the people in my street. There's so much nature strip espionage on down my way.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mickey, what are you on about today?
Tone, Australian scientist Peter Doherty last night won the prestigious Nobel Prize for Medicine.
Oh.
And did you see the presentation?
I didn't.
He was wearing the same outfit Dave Graney wore at the ARIA.
Was he?
Quite a card. He's a wacky funster. Anyway, Professor Doherty is the seventh Australian to win a prize at the 95-year-old International Nobel Awards and the first since 1975.
Who would that have been?
Sherbert?
Oh, would it?
Could have been.
Did William Shakespeare ever get...
I think he might have been nominated.
He'd have a couple of Nobels on the dash, wouldn't he?
I think you might be right. Now, Tone, congrats to the professor. Mm. I'm sure he's done a lot of fine work in the area of, immune deficiencies in cells.
Oh, something brainy.
Come on! I mean, he's not exactly the inventor of the Barocca now, is he? Sure, he spent 23 years hunched over a microscope down the lab, but it's not the fruits of his labour that's given me back my BB bounce, is it?
No, no.
That bloke would have spent 23 years hunched over a glass of water just waiting for the bastard to dissolve. Where's his recognition? Yeah. What about the inventor of quickies?
No,
he wasn't even nominated.
Nothing.
What kind of games are these Nobel clowns playing?
Mm.
What are these, Tone? What are these?
Oh, you've got some fisherman's friends?
Exactly. And you know what the bloke who knocked these suckers up got?
What?
Nary a mention. Snubbed. I'm telling you, Tone, when it comes to bagging a Nobel, it's all about who you know.
Oh, yes,
everyone. Please stand and applaud our good friend, wink, wink, Alexander Fleming, inventor of penicillin, but nothing for the bloke who knocked up the first pair of odor eaters.
Deadly.
It's shameless, Tone. It's absolutely shameless. If the brains behind malaria was a card-carrying member of the snooty white coat brigade, he'd be the chairman of the Nobel board by now. What about Gaviscon?
Oh.
That's the one with the calming raft.
Yeah.
The calming raft, Tone. You don't think that constitutes a turning point for medicine in the 20th century?
Nothing for the discoverer of the calming raft.
There you go. There's a dead-set genius out there walking the streets, Tone, who had the vision and drive that now enables you and me to walk into a supermarket anywhere in the world and pluck off the shelf a bottle containing both shampoo and conditioner.
Oh.
And do I need to tell you, his trophy cabinet is empty.
Where's his gong?
Couldn't even tell you what a Nobel Prize looked like. But meanwhile, Professor Doherty's sitting back at his joint polishing up a brand spanking new one, thanks to his tireless research in the area of infectious diseases. Well, here's a tip, Professor. Not all of us are working that hard. Most of us spend the whole day sitting on our arse. So if it's not too much trouble, while you're in the kitchen, how about knocking up something for the hemorrhoids? Or perhaps you don't fancy your chances in a head-to-head with the team banging out the tubes of Preparation H. Hey? Wouldn't be a little bit chicken, would you, Mr. Nobel Prize for Medicine Man? How about something for me tinea? Not up to it. How about some baby powder for the old bot? No? Two words, Professor. Tixie licks.
Radio. I'm not saying nothing. Run out of ideas
there. Just ignore it. It'll go away.
Okay. You learn. That's Alanis Morissette here at Martin Malloy. Mick, I have to ask, Sunday night, 60 Minutes had another one of their fantastic fantastic Richard Carlton debates. Do you love them?
Yeah, I didn't see it, unfortunately. I'm not allowed to have a telly in the bubble.
Oh, okay.
So you'll have to take me through it.
Understood. Well, listen to this. It was euthanasia, a very serious topic, and handled with the sensitivity it deserved. In case you didn't see the 60 Minutes euthanasia debate, I think we've got a tape of it here.
Euthanasia. It's a complex issue with both moral and political, and both medical and religious, and both social dimensions. Well, that's five, isn't it? Well, both of those five dimensions contribute to its complexity. Therefore, our challenge here tonight will be to generate as much simplistic hysteria in the studio audience as we can before the next ad break. But first, let's meet the inventor of the Northern Territory's so-called suicide machine, Dr. Graham Fuchs.
Good evening, Richard.
Could you show us how your instrument of death works?
Certainly. The patient has this intravenous needle inserted into the arm, but before the lethal injection can proceed, he must answer a series of questions on this computer keyboard.
Right. First, we've got, are you sure you want to continue with this fatal procedure?
That's so they know what they're getting into.
Next, we've got, have you put the cat out?
Yes, there's been a few incidents.
Then why not inquire about our fixed-term home loans?
Oh, sorry, that was supposed to have been removed.
Are you certain you understand? If you proceed to the next level, you will die.
And that's the final checkpoint, and all you do now is press this button.
Welcome to the final level, mortal. Prepare to meet your maker.
Sorry, the people from Nintendo have been supplying much of the software.
Thank you, Doctor. Now let's turn to the audience and see if we can generate some emotive sound bites for the promo. Father Meredith, you represent the Catholic Church. Let me suggest for a moment that I'm terminally ill. I want to die. Why won't you and your religion get out of my way? Oh,
I think in your case we could make an exception, Richard.
I see. But what about the moral implications?
Oh, bugger them. Hook yourself up. Off you shoot.
Dr. McDermott, you represent the AMA. You're opposed to this, aren't you?
Well, generally speaking, yes. But I have to side with the church on this one. Go for your life.
What about the right to lifers?
We'll help if you want. Yes, let's get it over and done with now.
Dr. Fuchs, returning to you. Surely for me to carry out this procedure, I'd require the signatures of three licensed medical practitioners.
Yes, but I'll just sign the form three times if you like. I don't think we'll have too much trouble.
Sure, fine. Have I pointed out that this is a hypothetical situation? I don't really want to die. It's just for the purposes of this debate. Ow! Well, now we're seeing something we can use. Ow! And, we'll be back with my death by lethal injection after this break.
I feel good. I feel good. I feel good.
Right there with Cherish, and in the next hour of Martin Malloy, Matt Parkinson will be returning for another chit-chat, comedian Matt Parkinson. Also, Pot of Shite will be stirring that up. That went very well yesterday. It was launched in fine style.
I heard it.
Paul Hester was on board.
Yep.
And we didn't break it. The pot is intact, so we'll continue in the next hour. Also, Radio Gladiators coming up, and listen, royal news, just when you thought.
More royal news.
We've got to the bottom of the barrel. Mm. We've dug through it. We're heading for the Earth's core, and the news keeps coming. The Queen is seeking to minimise the damage the Duchess of York's recent behaviour has done to the monarchy. Might be a bit late for
that. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's a bit like showing up with a carpet sweeper after Cyclone Tracy's ripped through town. The Queen is now thinking of paying Fergie's debts for her, and buying her a new home as far from Great Britain as possible. She'd be exiled and in return will be stripped of her title and banned from revealing any stories relating to her 11 years as a member of the royal family. Are there any more left?
I wouldn't think so.
What's left in that tank? So Fergie comes out of this deal, well, okay, doesn't think about it. Think about it. A week ago, she was $8 million in debt, no chance of paying it back, the Queen refusing to cough up a cent, having to live next door to the royal family for the rest of her life. Now, after a few revelations about her stalking Kevin Costner and a couple of, you know, bits of pants-free work with Princess Di and a couple of bedroom utensils, suddenly the Queen's signing $10 million checks, buying a new house, sending her on an indefinite holiday miles away from those loopy Windsors. Top deal, I reckon. I'd jump at it.
Beauty.
And by the way, it seems Fergie's little DIY demo may have done the trick with Di. Because have you heard about this Princess Di spy video?
No.
You'll be seeing this on the TV news tonight, people. The embattled royal family suffered yet another blow today with the publication of pictures from a spy video of Princess Diana in a, quote, bra and panties romp with lover Major James Hewitt. The video, which also screened on national TV, shows Diana stripping down to her sports bra, passionately kissing Major Hewitt, indulging in a light-hearted cushion fight before riding round the room on the Major's back. Sounds like Princess Anne may have been giving her a few pointers. At one point on the, this is my favourite, but at one point in the tape, Diana teases Hewitt by slowly removing her tracksuit pants. Mick, have you been instructing the Princess of Wales?
Well, you know.
A few tips on the art of seduction.
There you go.
The video was shot through the French windows of Prince Charles Highgrove Mansion. By who, do you think? Reporters from The Sun? A TV news crew? No. By Britain's MI5 Secret Service. Right, that's important high-level government intelligence work, is it? Do you remember a James Bond film, Mickey, where 007's mission was to pop down the palace, secretly video members of the royal family on the job and slip the footage to the news of the world? They are running out of things to do now the Cold War's behind us. Is that what it's like down at MI5? Right, red team, what have you got today?
Well, we filmed Princess Diana in her underpants. Good. We've got some nice clear shots of that wet T-shirt competition down the Hammersmith Odeon. Excellent. And 009's photocopied his ass. Good. Get it down to The Sun now. See if we can get it in the late edition. Then report back here for reassignment. Remember, you're serving your country proud.
This is Martin Malloy.
With a bit of harmless fun, that's all it is.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
This is Martin Malloy, where it's time for a very responsible edition of
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mickey, what's wrong with the young people of today?
I ask myself that question every day, Tony Martin.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Have you opened?
I don't know.
Have you opened your newspaper? Drugs.
Mm.
Train surfing.
Yep.
Rock and roll music. Why don't you just grow up, people?
It's time, you know. You have to step ahead. You have to make a man of yourself someday.
It's a very serious old business, this. There's a lot of very dangerous drugs out and about.
Yep.
There's a lot of train surfing going on, which has led to a lot of serious injuries. And people are coming up with alternatives. They're saying, why do we have to have this? Surely we can think of forms of entertainment without recourse to hallucinogens and public transport.
All right, well, such as.
So, well, they're suggesting, okay, in regards to train surfing, dangerous old business, why not focus that energy on such activities as paragliding or rock climbing?
Sure.
Paragliding or rock climbing.
These things cost money.
Yeah, well, that's true. There you go. That's one factor. So we're saying today, quite seriously, let's come up with some fun things to do that cost you nothing. Things that if they're a top idea, the young people will be able to grab by the scruff of the neck and get into without recourse to jazz cigarettes and satanic ditties.
Correct.
We're coming up with practical ways to have fun on next to no cash.
Yeah,
okay.
That works.
Any ideas?
All right. Well, look, a lot of people like to go to the cinema. But again, that costs money.
Sure.
So, you know, people instead will go and ride a train or do something instead. So, but here's what I do.
Right.
Instead of going to the cinema when I don't have money, I get my girlfriend and we go down to court. And we sit, I'll sit in the back row at the Supreme Court with a chock top and a big coat just going the snog.
Yeah.
And I find it a wonderful alternative. There's a bit of theatre going on. You can still, you know, pip a few minties round occasionally.
It's fun. It's free.
And you feel like you're doing something good for yourself.
And can you heckle?
What's the protocol?
What's the protocol? Can you roll Jeffers?
You can roll your Jeffers down the aisle. If you like a performance, you can go out and present them with flowers.
You can if you like.
On many occasions, I've been moved to stand on my feet and insist on more.
And this is... Anyone can go down... I've never really thought
anyone,
about
anyone, it's free. You go and sit in the back of court and you enjoy yourself.
Can you stand up and declare yourself to be a surprise witness?
You can indeed. On one occasion, I stood up and just said, "That's a lie! A damn stinking lie!" And that was the last thing
I
said.
Can you get four or five mates and just sit there going,
"We want Teddy. We want Teddy.
If you want
Where's
me, Teddy?
That big bald bastard? We want a Teddy. Let's end this call now. Neil Avedon didn't do it.
You can do it.
Can they?
You can do it.
Do they encourage... Yeah, I'll just hold the mic still, Grace. Do they encourage participation?
They do.
Well, that's harmless.
There you go.
It's a bit of fun.
No need, no recourse to that
kind of other stuff
you
mentioned
go.
Earlier.
That's seedy gear.
All right, that's a very sensible suggestion, and I think we've run out of suggestion time, haven't we, Gracie? Okay, well, we might hang on to it. And do we have a prize? Yes, indeed, we certainly do have a prize.
Maybe we do have time for another.
I don't know what our producer's is up to.
Maybe if you've got nothing to do, you can come and produce our show. It's free.
Hello? Who's coming in? Look out. Is it the Magnificent Seven? No, it's the Martin Malloy Mambo King.
It's the Magnificent Seven. They're just in a Congo line.
They've let their hair down. There! Form your own Congo line.
That's fun.
There's something for the kids. You can't get killed in a Congo line.
Do it at pedestrian crossings.
All right.
You hit the button. Get everyone else who's waiting across the road. Form a Congo line.
Just turn up a bit of this music. Now we're having fun. Now we're having free, low-cost, low-maintenance, no-injuries fun. And we do have a prize. It's a couple of top vids. We've got the new Blackadder Christmas Carol. And we've got the wrong trousers, which might have been my choice for movie of the year a couple of years back.
That can be fun too.
The wrong
put
trousers.
On the wrong trousers. I do it all the time.
Don't put on the video. Just put on the wrong trousers. There's fun, kiddies. And you'll be going into the drawer for a trip for two. No, a trip for four, including yourself, to the Galliano Sambuca Singles Party at Club Med Noumea. Does that sound like fun?
Well, it sounds like a load of fun. Sounds like too much fun.
That is too much fun. How would you like a bite of that prize pie? Call us with your fun thing to do that costs you nothing. 1-800-657-657.
I forgot, Mom.
Thanks very much. Clappers with Layla Unplugged here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. Today, we're here to help. We've got our sensible hats on. There's too much designer drug action, too much train surfing action out there on the streets. We're saying, what else can the kiddies do that costs them nothing and harms nobody?
Correct.
We're looking for low-cost, fun ideas. Have we got any, Mickey?
I think so. Christine can probably help us out. Is that right, Christine?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, what are you sitting on there? It's pretty much free, but loads of fun.
Well, I think you should be able to swing around the backyard on the clothesline.
Oh, yes. Cool. Now, that doesn't cost you anything, and that's hours of enjoyment.
That's good, clean fun.
You can what?
Anything.
You can have a bit of music going.
Yeah.
Set up your own Luna Park.
Yeah, bop right out.
We used to do that. There was a big Tongan bloke lived next door. He'd lean over the fence, go, lean to the right.
Lean to the right. Don't abuse it. Don't spoil it for everybody.
Good fun. Okay, that's plenty of fun. What about Glenn? He's got a suggestion. What is it, Glenn?
Yeah, we've got car snooker.
Car snooker. How do you play that?
You just got to sit by the side of the road
with
all of your mates, and you wait for a red car to go past. Right. And then you count up all the colours, like a black car's worth seven and a blue's worth five.
And then you've got to go back to your red and then go up again, your blues, your blacks, the whole deal?
You can make up the rules as you go along, but it never ends because cars are always going past.
And if you lose, do you have to run across the road with your pants around your ankles?
you can incorporate that.
You can have pub rules for the car snooker. Very nice. I'm sure that's a solid bit of theory there.
I'm playing it out the window right now.
All right, how you doing?
Oh, it's a bit of a traffic jam right now, but we'll get there soon.
And it's the Datsun 120Y. Okay, enough of that. What about Brett?
Have you got an idea for us, Brett?
I have.
What is it? Is it fun?
It's fun. It's a good answer to illicit drugs and train surfing.
Yes. What is it?
Standing up and spinning around in circles with your eyes closed.
Oh, yes. Brilliant. Just spinning around and getting totally off your nut.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it called a dizzy whizzy?
It is. It is.
Dizzy whizzy?
Have you been to one of those dizzy whizzy warehouse parties, Mickey?
Oh, there's things that go on.
Wow, I get so disorientated.
Oh, I know. Young people with no sense of direction staggering around.
That is
for
a good
hours.
Idea, though, Brett. That's one of my favourite. You know, we've always gone about how poor halftime entertainment is at sports, but at the basketball, it is actually a beauty. They get someone from the crowd, they spin them around really fast, then throw them a basketball, and they have to run down the court and dunk it. And they just run off sideways into the crowd.
Why not get the celebrities normally show up for them halftime entertainments? Get them all doing dizzy whizzies. Let's see Angry Anderson staggering around a footy field.
Done. Okay, thanks, Brett. We like it. Mickey is next. Mickey, what's your low-cost fun idea for the young people?
Mine is, remember in the 1980s, you pull out the old vinyl in the streets and start the music and rap dance?
Oh, so
yes. Can spin around?
Rap dancing or break dancing.
On the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That would be just pretty much like a dizzy whizzy. Except you're on the ground.
And have you got the equipment? Have you still got your breakdancing gear, Mickey?
Oh, no, I had to get rid of it.
You'd have to go, where would you, you'd have to go to an antique shop or a museum to find.
Indeed you would.
Probably,
to muster up an electric boogaloo. Okay, very nice, Mickey. I suppose it could work. Mm-hmm. And now we've got Adam. Adam, what's your idea?
Oh, I reckon you scare the crap out of old people.
Hey, man.
Oh, look, that's not a very good example at all.
No, it's fine. You just ride really close to one of the footpath and then scream at them.
You'll try that one day and you'll get the spy granny.
Yeah.
And then you'll get more than you bargained for, buddy.
You watch out. The spy granny is out there. She's all over. She might have one of them brown sort of vinyl with wheels shopping jeeps, but it's got a missile launcher in it as far as I can tell.
It can drop a smoke screen and then just get out of there.
A shopping jeep that Q ran up for her in the back shed. You watch out for the spy granny before you go scaring them old people at random, Adam. Have we got Miro? Is it Miro?
Yeah.
What's your idea?
Me and my friend, we make up little secret languages.
Oh, do you really?
Secret languages.
Such as?
Pardon?
Such as,
well, have you heard of Pig Latin?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, well, you take the first letter off the front and of the word, and then if the word then begins with a vowel, you put A-Y at the end.
Oh, yes.
I'm leaning towards Dizzy Wizzy at this stage, but can you give us an example anyway?
Oh, my God. Et gay is get, or one, away, and may is no way, man, or stuff like that. And we also sort of, like, swap words around for, like, other words, like gruple and canoodle and stuff
like
that.
Well, thanks for calling, Miro, but one, rice, pay, orfe, ouye.
Awfully sorry about that, Miro. But nicely done, though. Make up your own language, or, as I do, think of alternative pronunciations for the English language.
Is there's
a bit of fun. Here's how boring it gets around at my place. Take a word, think of an alternative pronunciation. Yeah. Like, take the word ice cream.
Ikekriam.
Is that it?
Ikekriam.
And it makes you sound like Ricardo Montalban.
There you go.
Ikekriam. If it's chocolate ice cream, it's kohokolate ikekriam.
You know, next time you invite me round, I won't be as quick to turn you down. That sounds like great fun.
Emibiolonke.
Ambulance.
Okay.
I can do this for hours, but I probably won't. No. I just remembered we're on national radio. So I'll just forget about the Senator case or sandwiches. Have we got Peter? Are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am.
We're getting real bored. You can probably tell. Have you got a fun idea for us?
This is a good one. You late at night, you grab a camera off a flash off a camera, sorry.
Yep.
And stand by the side of the road and flash all these speeding cars. You're the
you cheeky bugger. I hope that was you flashing us on the way home the other night.
Yeah, the cabbies don't like it, but everyone else sort of...
You know what? That sounds like fun to me. It's probably not the sort of behaviour we should be encouraging.
It's fun, it's free, it's a safe alternative to those other more seedy forms of entertainment.
Oh, exactly, and it makes people think.
It's a lot of fun.
It makes people think about what speed they're doing.
There you go.
And so it's a public service. Thanks, Peter. You're our winner. You've got the Blackadder video, you've got the wrong trousers, and you've gone into the draw for the trip to Club Med Noumea.
Fantastic.
Thanks for taking part, and we'll be back in the next hour with young Matthew Parkinson.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
And in
this hour, we'll plunge headfirst into that steaming pot of shite. We'll preview the Martin Molloy charity ball. And next up, we're on the blab, Peter Costello style, with Matt Parkinson, all thanks to Coca-Cola. It's the ultimate summer refreshment. Oh, well, do I know. That's Collective Soul here at Martin Molloy. It's the second hour. Finally, it's the second hour.
Hurrah!
Let's rope somebody else in, shall we? This bloke here, he's been in before. You've probably seen him wearing a singlet being hit in the head on the telly as one half of the empty pockets. He's currently starring in a stage show in Melbourne called The X-Files Unplugged. Did Jeff Kennett personally take an interest in getting that for Melbourne, do you know, Mickey?
I think he did. He wrangled it off a couple of other competing states.
We'll find out. This bloke is an actor, he's a comedian, he's a writer, and he works for the opposition. But we don't worry about that sort of thing here. Let's bring in Matt Parkinson.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Parko!
Smashing to be here.
Almost. Are you like us just sitting here? We've got the telly on up there. The news is it's an ad break at the moment. We're waiting for the Princess Di spy camera footage.
Yeah, it's not since Kieran Perkins won that gold this year has Australia waited by the TV sets for a replay, but I'm waiting for the Australia's Funniest Home Videos replay with all the sound effects, you know.
There he goes. What are we going to get? We're going to get Princess Di riding James Hewitt around the room like a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And
the playful cushion fight, particularly seat edge forward.
I want to see a peel of those tracky dacks off.
Yes, yes. Seductively removing the tracksuit pants. Oh, and yes. It's an ad for a smoke alarm at the moment. So we'll hang in there. Parko, what have you been up to? What's this X-Files Unplugged? What do we need to know? That's happening in Melbourne at the moment.
Well, I was approached by a couple of local performers, comedians, improvisers, Ross Daniels and Robin Butler. Mm-hmm. Who had this idea for the X-Files, and they did have someone else lined up. They had Jeff Payne, former Neighbours star, lined up to play the part of Fox Mulder, mm-hmm. or Duchovny or whatever. And Jeff got a gig on Pacific Drive, actually.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, you'll never see him again.
Exactly.
He's out of here. He won't talk to the likes of us.
He'll be a subject of the X-Files. What happened to that bloke? He disappeared off the face of the planet.
So I stepped in thinking, well, this is obviously the quick way to get a gig on Pacific Drive.
Oh, okay.
Except the role in the X-Files show.
It's your springboard.
And in spite of the fact that I'm about 2.5 foot too tall, people keep saying to me, oh, you really look like David Duchovny. And I can just see that vague odour of mendacity, that aura of, you're just being nice to me when they say.
Are you working on a sexual addiction, Parker?
Yeah, oh, very, very heavily. But I have to conquer my twisties addiction first before I can get room for the sexual addiction.
Now, what kind of work have you done in preparation for the role?
Well, the thing people say most often to Mulder is, Mulder, get some sleep. So I've been working a lot on being a little bit drowsy and a little bit half asleep, you know, staying up way too late the night before.
You've been working on this character for about 10 years now, Parker,
as far as I can tell.
And what sort of response is it getting? Do you get X-Files fans coming in, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I do a little setup thing at the beginning of the show where I go out, and just to warm people up to the idea of chucking in suggestions when they're asked for, as we do during the show, we'll go, you know, what do I do for a living or whatever.
Right.
So at the beginning, I come out, introduce myself, and say, as you may know, as a young boy, I suffered a disturbing incident. How old was I? And people will throw an age at me. And what relative was it that disappeared? And what board game were we playing at the time? Now,
but
if you're a real X-Files head, you know that he was 13 and it was his sister and they were playing Stratego.
Oh, okay.
So what we can just judge straight away within the first minute of the show how dweeby our audience is. And the other night, there was actually a little table of X-Files heads and I picked one of them out and said, can you tell me what board game they were playing? And five people leaned over and went, Stratego, jumping in the back. And she sort of sat up straight, very proud, and said, Monopoly. Like, because I had said, you know, you're free to say anything that comes into your head.
It could be Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
I'd be happy with hands down. No objections there.
And tell me, do people come along, like, is it like Rocky Horror? Do people come dressed as their favourite, like, X-Files character? Has someone turned up as that stretchy, liver-eating arm black thingy?
Well, we've only been running 2 weeks, but hopefully, if we get that sort of Blues Brothers Rocky Horror thing happening, and we're still here, I'll be back in 5 years' time going, oh, yes, it's going very well.
And do you have someone doing the smoking? Can you smoke in the theatre?
Oh, you're allowed to smoke. You're allowed to smoke at La Joke upstairs at the Last Laugh.
That's where it's on.
In fact, one of the recurring characters we have is Cigarette Smoking Man. And we also have another favourite character, the wise old Navajo father.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the interesting props in that is a fake jazz cigarette, which is, for some reason, my job to roll every night.
Oh, yes.
And we're using parsley, dried parsley.
I should hope so.
And you would be amazed how quickly people get into the idea of audience participation when that thing comes out all fired up and Navajo father's having a go on the peace joint.
People are passing it around like the Olympic torch. Yeah. Give me a go of that.
Top, is parsley legal? Have they legalised parsley here in Australia?
I don't know. Someone was caught at the airport the other day with about 2 pounds of parsley gaffer taped to their chest. It was a sad sight.
It was Jeff Jans.
All right, look, that's going nowhere.
Just go with us, Parker. What about the X-Files? Are you a fan? I mean, do you have to be a fan of the X-Files to take the piss out of it, do you feel?
Oh, no, but it is... I'm not a fan, but I would say it's one of the more watchable shows on TV. And it's... I think when you're going to send something up, it makes sense to pick something that's good in the first place. It's like, you know, if I said to you we had a show that's based on... it's got a really good send-up of Black Lace singing Agadoo in it. You go, I think we'll skip it, thanks, mate.
We won't be seeing you doing I Do Unplugged.
No. Tell you what, though, we might be doing Playful Cushion Fight.
Yes, please.
I'll try and work that in this week.
Book your tickets now.
All right, we'll just get the tracksuit pants on for a bit of a break here. We'll have some music and we'll be back with Matt Parkinson in just a moment.
I'm Martin Malloy.
That's London Beat with Come Back. Here at Martin Malloy, have we missed the Princess Diana footage?
No, I don't know.
What's coming out? Oh, they're going to the sport. It's not going to be.
Could be in sport. Would she be... does have the tracky dacks on, Tone.
All right.
Could be covered in sport.
It's Martin Malloy, by the way. Matt Parkinson's with us. Matt, you watch a bit of telly, don't you?
Oh, heaps. You're on a professional basis.
Yeah. And haven't you got a real monster telly?
Yeah, I've got the big sale of the century, you know, and I think it's 90-something centimetre.
Matt, if you remember, I'm sure he's sick of people pointing it out. One big time on sale of the century. And I know you're sick of talking about that, Matt, but I must ask, did you work with Pete Smith on that occasion?
I did. I had the pleasure of working with Pete, and Pete's a total professional. I refer to him as the hardest working man in Australian show business. And when I went back for a champion of champions, I got my little white ass.
Did you? What happened there?
I don't know. Somebody who was actually good as opposed to being lucky.
Kerry. I'll bet you it was Kerry. He always wins.
Yeah, he did win that round, actually, Kerry the Scary.
Yes.
But while I was there, Pete got me to do a bit of filling in with the audience warm-up, because Pete's the man who keeps the audience cooking.
Sure.
My word.
It takes a lot of work, I think. It takes a hell of a comedy mind to satisfy, you know, everybody from the 4-year-old nephew to the 81-year-old grandma who come in to support their play. You know what I mean? And Pete keeps them all entertained. The school parties, the hospital parties, the whole lot.
And apparently they occasionally shout out things from this program, like he'll be doing one of it. He'll be at an important part of a gag and some 6-year-old kid will yell, "Potty shite!" ruining the joke entirely. What have you been watching lately, Parker?
Glued to my screen Sunday night for Malibu Shores. Did you catch that?
Where were we? What were we doing?
What is Malibu Shores?
Malibu Shores is for the age group that's in between 90210 and Melrose Place.
Oh, thank God that's been filled.
So, we're looking at fast cars.
Yep.
We're looking at teenagers having sex and houses were being burnt down.
So it was
really just a boring Sunday afternoon in Perth, only with American accents.
And it's just, this is the opening.
Yeah, that was the first episode. Here we go, we're going to burn down a house and we'll start with two teenagers having sex.
Super bitches?
Mini bitches, I guess they are.
Right.
They're sort of on the, you know, they're serving their apprentice bitches.
Eating their stripes.
And not a pimple to be seen in the whole show, which is always a
Is it going to be, is it going to kick on? Because a lot of these shows, they cut your models, Inc., yeah, they come and go very quickly.
They're not all Pacific Drive, are they?
No, they're not.
There.
None of the legs. They've still got another 150 hours of that in the can, apparently. They're stocking up for a rainy day.
Yes, and the kiddies apparently coming. There's a lot of trouble with Pacific Drive being on where the kids can see it. I think it just shouldn't be on where anyone can see it at all.
That's it.
It's a danger to the community.
Just take it. Bring those V-chips in there.
Trey Devlin, the edgy, controversial talkback host. I don't know. I don't think Australia's ready for him. What else you been watching, Parker?
I watched Bathurst, of course, Sunday too, and that was exciting because there was a bit of a pace car drama. I don't know if you're into motorsport, but there was a bit of argument about the pace car coming out, slowing people down. And I think that they should do away with the pace car being some big vehicle with flashing lights on it. And they should just make it just an ordinary two-door with an unmarried couple having a domestic. Because you know, that's the same effect, you know. It's just a guy and a girl and arguing about whether they're going to go to mum's place for dinner or go and see a movie, you know. And why don't you stop and ask for directions? You get exactly the same effect, a mile-long line of cars.
And just Brocky.
Nobody hits the horn like Brocky.
What if they get
that
car they have at the trots? You know, the one that's got the big barrier out the back and it just scoots around about 10 k's an hour. That'd be a hoot. Yeah. They could have some extra work. It's only working, what, one night a week as far as I can ascertain.
Why not get Gay Waterhouse involved?
There you go. Queen of the racetrack.
Yeah. And what's happened to the bloke that won? He's gone into hiding. The new king of the mountain.
Where is he? Have you seen him?
He's a 22-year-old edgy young chap.
He's enigmatic.
Who knows where he is?
He's probably stuck at a bus stop somewhere, you know, wishing he had his driver's license.
Exactly. Here's something else we were watching on telly the other night. You might have seen this yourself. Oh, it's a movie. I forget the name of the movie. Starring your old partner in crime.
Oh, yes. Day of the Panther you're talking
Day
about.
Day of the Panther with Matthew Quarterman playing a cop. Have you seen that before?
Yes, I have had the pleasure of seeing it before. Yeah. But of course, as soon as I saw it, I was on the phone to Maddie. Maddie, you're on me. And Maddie was, well, appalled would be perhaps putting a bit too strongly.
You know, it's not a good sign when you're in a big screen feature film and the opening credits start and your name's spelt wrong. It's like Matthew, it's just with one T. Did he know that?
Well, all right, so those people had never read a Bible. So, you know, they're not qualified to make a film. It was high class, you know, martial arts in Perth. That's a magic combination. A feature film shot in Perth featuring plenty of martial arts. You know it's going to be quality.
And who was the hero? Jason Blade. And who was the bad guy?
Oh, the bad guy was going off. He was enjoying himself. He swatted around in the bathrobe and the aviators and, well, as virtually about as evil and creepy as anyone in a dressing gown can get.
You'll never kick heads in Perth again, Blade.
There was lots of talk like that.
And I understand there's a sequel somewhere.
Yes, Strike of the Panther. But look, I don't know how to put this to you, but I don't think Matty Quarterman's character actually survived.
Made the second one.
It was too much romance. Too much. I don't know if you noticed, it also had a couple of beaut flash dancing type scenes. The other hallmark of a mid-80s film, a girl throwing herself around doing cartwheels in a leotard. That's which was sexy in 1980.
It was. Now, Parko, thanks for talking intellectual television in cinema with us today.
We're talking TV. We're talking tonight too, by the way, Murder One.
Is it tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night. I've done it again. I did that last week.
You just can't wait.
You can't wait to see how it all winds up.
And Parko, what's this show again? It's X-Files Unplugged. It's for at least our Melbourne listeners at the moment. Where can they see it?
They can see it at La Joke upstairs at the Last Laughs, Mystery Collingwood, for the next 2 weeks.
And everyone goes home happy.
Oh, my word. And if you're lucky, you might even manage to get a bit of the green gunk we use as alien DNA stuck on your clothes. That's always
lovely.
A bonus.
Yes, please. Thanks for talking to us, Matt Parkinson, here at Martin Molloy. It's on fire. That's John Farnham here at Martin Molloy. Mickey, you were away yesterday.
Yes.
But Paul Hester and myself did take the opportunity to launch something, to relaunch something. Uh-huh. And, well, here, let Pete Smith explain.
It's time for radio's premier talent quest, Pot of Shite. Could you be the next Frankie J. Holden, the next Debbie Newsom, the next Grant Dodwell, Teen Queens, or Sam C. and the Feelers? Even if you're merely the current Sam C. and the Feelers, give us a call and let us lead you to the Pot of Shite at the end of the rainbow.
What are you going to do for us talent-wise?
I play a little trick with a compressed air gun and play a bit of a tune.
Okay, take it away, Mark.
Here we go.
What's that, R2?
Every winner on Pot of Shite takes home a 3-pack of CDs thanks to Warner Music and goes into the draw to win a Ford Festiva Trio valued at more than $17,000. Ford Festiva, the escape hatch. Fun to drive and easy on the wallet. All thanks to the Ford Australian Open. Okay, lads, stir that pot.
Be glad to, Pete Smith. It's all coming back to me now.
Yes, indeed. We played Pot of Shite earlier in the year. We're doing it all over again. It was an interesting program yesterday without you here, Mickey.
Yeah.
Molly Meldrum obviously thought, well, one of them's not there. The defences are weak. I'll see if I can get through. And he called up.
He did.
And I'll be buggered if I could work out what he was on about.
He was talking in tongues. He was trying one of those languages our gladiator caller was talking about earlier today.
He kept saying, why aren't you mentioning Peter Andre? As if it was some glaring oversight.
I know. Maybe he's trying to rub it in or something, because he's involved with Peter Andre and his newfound success, isn't he?
Is he helping him get a role in a movie with Tom Cruise? No offence, but has Peter Andre done any acting before?
Mm.
Molly's in the paper today saying, he's just signing up to do a film with Tom Cruise.
Right, starring opposite him, is he?
Yeah, I think so.
The romantic interest of Tom Cruise in the forthcoming Tom Cruise film. That's what I'm saying.
Nicole's got the arse and it'll be Days of Thunder 2 with Peter Andre as the sexy brain surgeon. Oh, look enough about that.
Stop it.
Molly, do you suppose he calls up other people? Do you suppose, a newsreader is on the news, just doing the ABC News, phone rings?
Why aren't you mentioning Peter Andre?
I'll just get through the Chechen crisis first, and then we'll get to Peter Andre.
He's a menace, Mr.
Okay.
Meldrum.
Peter Andre, if he's listening, could take part in Pot of Shite. It's just that simple. You can call us up with your talent, your musical talent, your talent in the field of impressions.
We're casting a wide net.
Poetry, whatever you've got, if you can play a tune on your own body. Oh, we don't care.
Yep.
As you heard yesterday, it was a bloke playing music, attempting to, on a compressed air gun. Mm. It's Pot of Shite. We'll accept anything. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Molloy.
We have been but little cogs in a vast and intricate machine.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
You join us here at Martin Molloy with Pot of Shite. Already in progress, it's pure, raw, untreated Australian talent on the line, ready to perform. Who's first, Mickey?
It's a young chap named Michael. How are you, Michael?
I'm pretty good.
There you go. And which part of the country are you calling us from, Michael?
I'm calling from Sydney.
From Sydney.
Yes.
And what particular act have you been honing for today's workshop?
Oh, I haven't got an act. It's actually my dad. He can do a good Donald Duck.
Your dad?
Yes, I'll get him on line for you.
Okay. All right.
Here he comes.
Here comes Michael.
He must be kind of Colonel Tom Parker.
His name's Barry.
His dad. Okay, Barry.
Hello.
Hello, Barry. How are you?
Tremendous.
There you go.
And having
you?
A lovely quiet evening, and my son said, Dad, I want you to do Trot the Ducky Up. and you know what? He said, you're on a pot of shite or something. and here we are.
He's not wrong, Barry. Why don't you take the duck for a walk on Pot of Shite?
All right.
That's probably enough, Barry.
Put the duck away, Barry. Put the duck away.
And Barry, how long can you duck on for?
I've been known to duck on for quite a while, actually.
I can believe it.
Barry, you're a master. And has Disney ever called on you at any stage once, one of the previous voices
never
of the duck?
Never like calling on me.
Never? All right. Well, we're more than satisfied with your performance today. Hang around, because you could win something.
Okay, you hang in there, Barry, and indeed, Michael. Have we got Alicia on the line? Alicia.
Hi.
What have you got for us at Pot of Shite?
I can hit my throat and just make music out of it.
Oh, it's not dangerous, is it?
Oh, yeah, it hurts.
Gee, well, don't attempt Inagata DeVita.
People say this. The people are prepared to hurt themselves on Pot of Shite because it means that much.
All right, Alicia, give us a demo.
Okay.
And that's got that Barry thinking twice.
I like to hear them in some kind of macabre duet.
And what do you call that piece, Alicia?
Oh, no, just made it up.
Yeah, very nice try.
And what are you hitting yourself in the throat with?
Just my hand.
Yeah. Just your hand? You're very clever.
Okay.
What's that? Someone's got a flute in the background? Is that another instrument lurking?
No, it's just my sister.
Okay,
well.
She doesn't hurt herself deliberately to win a prize?
No.
Okay. What a family. Thanks, Alicia. We've got Gary now. Are you there, Gary?
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to do not one, but six impersonations of performing artists, but this is those little noises they like to make in the middle of their songs.
Oh, okay. It's a bit of a conceptual one. Take it away. The stage is yours,
Gary. Okay, we've
Gary.
Got James Rain to start off with, going, aye. Then we've got Jimmy Barnes. Then we've got Michael Jackson. Then we got Prince.
Yeah.
Then we got 4 Non Blondes. And then finally, Frankie goes to Hollywood.
Oh, very nice. And that says it all. And just give us Prince again.
I'm just moving my arm up and down in the studio trying to amuse other people. It doesn't really work on radio.
It doesn't at all, but I like it a lot.
Wow, he obviously spends a fair bit of time listening to the radio. Mm. Is he our winner, though, Mickey?
No, he's not. Who is?
We're going back to Perry because he's got the best duck in the world.
Sorry, Gary. Sorry, Alicia. We're giving it to Barry, best duck in the world. You there, Barry?
Yes, I sure am.
That was worth getting up out of the couch for, wasn't it?
It was, too.
Do you know what you've won?
You fellas have got a leaning towards ducks.
Yeah. Oh, well, we've always had a soft spot for a good duck.
Right.
And it's got you a 3-pack of CDs.
Sounds colossal.
It is. It's colossal as. And you've gone into the draw for a Ford Festiva Trio. That's a $17,000 vehicle.
My word.
And it's courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. We're drawing it in about 6 weeks' time. So you be ready with a duck acceptance speech just in case 6 weeks from now, okay? I think that might constitute bad language in the duck world. Thanks very much, Barry, and thank Michael for us too. We'll be back with another Pot of Shite tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Yes, actual rock music. That's the Georgia Satellites with Hippie Hippie Shake here on the program that invites its listeners to trot out the duck, Martin Malloy.
We here at Martin Malloy are proud to announce that on October the 12th, we will be holding the Martin Malloy Charity Ball to be attended by the Princess of Wales. This gala occasion will be the social event of the year, and at $2,000 a plate, we're hoping to raise enough money to pay Turkish prison officials the cash they want to get our good friend Chowie out of the big house. Should there be any folding left over, well, we've got our eye on a really cool dune buggy. Dinner will commence at 8 p.m. when the star-studded array of guests will be bibbed up and encouraged to go the knuckle on the biggest plate of tacos you'll ever clap the peepers on. And for those who've acquired the taste, we may be able to organise the odd fish finger or two. Jugs of blackberry nip will taunt you from every nook and cranny. And come midnight, we ask you to charge your glass with a drop of champers. All thanks to our brand new Method Champenois home brew kit. There's also a dodgy bowl of punch, which, if I remember correctly, was last year spiked with angel dust, thus explaining guest of honour Roger Woodward's incessant claims he was being attacked all night by giant bats. Princess Diana will officially open the ball and kick off proceedings, as tradition demands, by smashing a bottle of champagne across Molly Meldrum's head before completing her duties with a quick spin on the mechanical bull. Then, as always, our guest of honour will be shunted to the front of the dwarf-throwing queue, where she will entertain the assembled crowd by hurling the hairy little tackers round with gay abandon. She will then be escorted from the premises by a few of our mates and tied with gaffer tape to the nearest boom gate. Tickets are now on sale and must be presented at the door, unless you want a punch in the head from our doorman, Ralphie. Gentlemen must wear jacket and tie, with pants optional. For the ladies, it's strictly acid wash. So if you want to be part of this lucrative money-making venture, reserve your seat now for the Martin Malloy Charity Ball. This will be the glamour event on the social calendar. Or my name's not Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance.
Lay Your Love on Me, pretty much drawing proceedings to a close here at Martin Malloy, just going through the crumbs before we sign off. What's the story with the Princess Di footage? I know we've been talking about it on the show. Where can people see it?
Well, apparently, Tone, I'm reading this hot off the press. Apparently, Seven Network has got exclusive Australian television rights, or they're claiming. That's a big coup for them, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And I'll be screening it at the 6 o'clock news tonight, so tune in and get a load of what allegedly is the princess going the pillow fight with James Hewitt.
Riding him about like a horse and seductively removing a pair of tracksuit pants.
What about everything you could ever want for and more.
The team at Channel 9 haven't been sitting on their hands, however. They're attempting to persuade Pauline Hanson to go on an Aboriginal walkabout for 60 minutes. I think this might be the brainchild of Kerry-Ann Kennelly.
Yeah.
Who's always thinking.
Yep.
And she's apparently issued an on-air challenge for Hanson to meet the targets of her political invective, i.e. Aboriginals. And you know what? If Pauline doesn't want to meet Aboriginal people on 60 Minutes, they could just get Richard Carlton to hypothetically be one.
Did you see him on that debate on...
No, I didn't.
I want to die. He was speaking hypothetically.
Well, if he was looking for an argument, he would have been waiting a while.
It was euthanasia. They could just get him to go, I'm Richard Carlton, and I'm an Aboriginal. Just get him to do it. I love it when he's hypothetical.
Oh, dear.
He could be anything hypothetically. Every week, Richard Carlton should come out and make another announcement. I'm Richard Carlton, and I'm the creator of the Smurfs. to say anything.
I'm Richard Carlton, and I'm the world's largest pumpkin.
I'm Richard Carlton, and I like wearing kilts. Just say anything.
You can just have fun with it till the cows come home.
All right, what about anything else? I know Peter Andre's still in the news.
Well, we were talking about Anders before. Peter Andre, there's another bit of snippet of information Peter Andre
I'm time. Richard Carlton, and I'm the funky junkie.
See, it works for anything. But listen to this. Peter Andre could be accepting one of the world's most lucrative modelling contracts, and we're talking to Calvin Klein. Calvin Klein's the big American dude. He gets in. He's always in trouble with controversial advertising.
Oh, he's a big derps man.
He's a big derps man, and there's a lot of other people, I think, that that Mark Wahlberg and a few others have done it. But I'm thinking, you know, this Klein, there's something wrong. First Kate Moss, now Peter Andre. This Klein bloke, he just can't get enough of using chicks with no tits. You know what I mean? You'd think he would have tired. But where do you go after Kate Moss? Bingo, pulled it out of the fire. I can go one better, he said.
Oh, he's topped himself.
I'm not done yet.
I'm Richard Carlton, and I'm the wife look. Just anything. Just choose anything. Every week he comes out, he does another reenact. Forget the euthanasia, forget your Pauline Hanson. It's just Richard Carlton claiming, I'm Richard Carlton, and I have been abducted by Muslims and forced to eat my own feces.
I'm Richard Carlton, and I am queen of the racetrack.
I'm Richard Carlton, and I love to merengue. What about our guests today? We must thank, of course, Matt Parkinson, but also the Spy Granny. I'm the Spy Granny. Also, all our pot stirrers and gladiators. We'd like to invite you back tomorrow, people, when we'll be joined by a couple of the blokes from Garbage. I think Butch Vig is going to be here, and possibly Dirk Erickson also. We'll see who shows up tomorrow here at Martin Molloy. Remember, if you can't say something intelligent, for God's sake, come talk to us.